Pirate RC, and I'm on the phone with Heidi Lee from the Snow Leopards. How you doing, Heidi?
Good. I'm actually sitting here watching a spider come down from the ceiling. Other than that, I'm great.
Are you scared of spiders?
No, I'm not afraid of spiders. It's the smallest thing. You can barely see it.
Good. If it was like me, my roommate would be freaking out, and I'd be running for the paper towels or Windex or something. I like to kill them with Windex and stuff.
Oh, you like to do it in a clean way?
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah. Just clean up everything at once.
Funny, I've never heard of it. Everybody comes when you least expect it. Open your eyes if you're gonna detect it. Try to take a part of me, and then you'll sing a sweet, sad melody. 1, 4, 5, and you're alive, and then you'll gather up and move on by.
Anyway, well, you guys have your first album out, and it's called Debut, which is a pretty cool name, actually. How did you guys decide to call it Debut?
I think some people are, they're not puzzled by it, but, you know, some people scratch their heads and be like, what? Why did you, I don't have the balls, actually, to call your debut. I think that Mike was the one, Mike, who's the guitar player and also my boyfriend. We live together, and all the writing here where we live, in our house. I think he came up with the concept for Debut. And we were aware, I wasn't aware, but he told me that York also had an album. I believe it was called Debut.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think he just thought of it. I don't remember it being anything overly interesting.
It wasn't one of those major things that...
Yeah, why did we call it Debut? But just, really just because it was a debut.
Because it was the debut, right. Yeah, so instead of the whole self-titled or anything else.
Right, or calling it one of the songs.
Did you and Mike meet first as music partners, or did you meet and then start going out and then decide to do the band?
Yeah, it's the second. We met and started dating, and I knew he was a musician when I met him. I actually was doing solo before we started the Snow Leopards, and he was in a band called Runner and Thermodynamics.
Okay.
Really well. Met, and he was still playing in that band, and I needed a guitar player in my solo band, so he started playing with me, and then I really didn't like doing solo. It's a lot of pressure, and to keep, to just use your name and to kind of be self-motivated, it was hard for me. I really was looking to, front a band and with an actual band name, and things with Runner, his other band, kind of changing. So we decided to start writing our own songs, and we actually were just a duo for almost a year, and we played shows with a drum machine, actually.
Oh, wow.
Which was fun. And so we did that for a while, and then we decided we needed a rhythm section. And we got Ben Jeff to play with us. Actually, we've had a couple drummers. Jeff is our second drummer, third sort of drummer. So we stayed together. It's been really great partnership.
That's awesome. And yeah, I was going to ask you a little bit about your solo works. I mean, you did quite a bit on your own prior to Snow Leopards, and you mentioned that there was some extra pressure with that, and you like being in a band better.
Much better.
So have you found that you had to make adjustments, though, in order to work with a band compared to how you were doing things before, or were they just all welcome changes and it was easy for you?
Good question. I think it was an adjustment, but not that difficult, and probably mostly welcome. Because when you're doing solo, I have a hard time with self-motivation anyway, music or whatever. I think it was really great for me. I hadn't been playing with a bass player in a really long time. And even the very first band that I was in town called Shiva Speedway, we didn't have a bass player. So I've been doing a lot of music without a bass. That was pretty amazing. Because when I was doing solo, I would play do a lot of duo shows with a drummer.
Okay.
But, never a bass player.
Cool. Do you write, as far as the writing goes, do you and Mike primarily do the writing now at this point?
Mike and I primarily, yes, do the writing. We write kind of, whenever. It could be 2 a.m., pick up a guitar, come up with a riff or a melody, and on the toilet, that's kind of a joke.
Yeah, but some of the best spots.
Mike's looking at me, and he mouthed that, and so I repeated it like a parrot. neither one of us are very organized people. Similar brain types, a little bit ADD-like. So we kind of go at it, you know, whenever.
Cool.
And it works. It works really well for us. Not a lot of pressure to do anything. And I think that it makes it more fun, actually, without the pressure.
Like, now that you're playing with a band, have you found that you have more of an opportunity to create sounds that you were interested in creating in the first place, but you couldn't do it when you're on your own?
Definitely, in terms of writing more, I don't know, I guess mainstream in a way, you know, a little more pop melodies.
Right.
That's what I've been able to accomplish. That's the main thing that I've been able to accomplish in the difference in solo. Because my solo work is a lot quirkier and darker. Would definitely be labeled indie. No Leopards, you know, I think we're reaching a larger audience.
When you consider the words and putting the words together, how do you come up with the subject matter for your songs? And
well, I'll just have to admit that I don't really have a subject matter in mind, and most of the words that I write kind of just make up, sort of, you know, rethinking. I make up words and then I'll go and I'll refine them. When it comes to actually recording, I'll sit down and I'll write them out. I don't usually write things out, but I'll write them out before, you know, going to make the record and then fix them up, or if someone has a complaint about a word, I'll change it. But it kind of goes along the same lines as the way my brain works. I'm not a very really clear person, so I like to just create things. That's, you know, kind of how songwriting is.
Right.
You know, we just make stuff up. I mean, the songs have meaning, but it's, I think that a lot of the songs have a feeling to them, whether it be a little bit sexual or, you know, edgy, or it could even be about things that I'm not even aware.
As far as writing and having Heidi as a writing partner, did you write in the other bands you were in, first of all?
No, not really. I mean, little music things, but I didn't write. I actually played bass in that band.
Oh, wow.
It was fun. It was a lot of experience, and, you know, I was just kind of tagging along because it was really, it was good. You know, we got a picture in Rolling Stone and a cover of CMJ, a lot of press, but it wasn't musically who I was, so.
So do you feel like you're just enjoying this more then and enjoying your role in this band more?
Oh yeah, this is definitely like my band. I was just kind of a member of that band, even though we're only a trio, but this is definitely like, I consider Snow Leopards my first true band, I guess you could say.
Cool. Mike, in looking at the name Snow Leopards, how did you come up with the name and then also the spelling, since you did make it all one word versus two words and breaking it apart that way?
Snow Leopards was just a name I just kind of had in my head ever since I was like 12 years old. My parents took me to this exotic feline zoo, and I was just kind of obsessed with the Snow Leopards exhibit. And even as I got older, I don't know, I just thought it'd make a cool band name. But the reason I made it one word, because doing research on the internet, there had been other bands with the same name. I think one in Germany and one in Canada. And they spelled it, you know, as two words.
Right.
So I changed it. And like, it's kind of a weird, because it's so long, it's really hard to be with a logo and to make it look cool, and this thought with the capital L and one word, it kind of gave it something special.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and do you like playing with words in general, like when you're writing too? Because when I look at the song FICU, it's actually, you know, comes out when it's being sung as if I see you, but the way it's spelled it just as all letters is pretty fun, actually.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's an old Prince thing, so I can't really take credit for that. You know, pretty much ripped off Prince.
Or okay, got it.
you know, like Hypnotize Me.
Right.
That, just because of the way it's pronounced.
Listen to me, baby, before you go. They've been playing Cheap Trick on the radio. Records have a power to deliver you. Come on, baby, give it to me.
actually, we've gotten a lot of flack about that. Like, it's really funny, like, this day and age, like, a lot of rock people, you know, just can't stand it. But, you know, if we were, like, a hip-hop techno band, the normal, because there actually are, like, dance hall titles that. But when you're a rock band and you do stuff like that, people hate it for some reason. But
do you think they mistake it for ignorance or something like that and think, oh, these guys don't know how to spell this, or...
No, I wouldn't say that. They just think it's dumb. I think that some... I think rock people just get insecure about things like that. Mm. I don't know. I like dance music and hip-hop and stuff, and I just thought it was... It's just that's the way we pronounce it, so it made sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's kind of cool, and it draws out something other than just the typical word, too, when you're spelling it that way.
The very last song, the ballad... Hideaway, or we put don't in parentheses. This is just to be silly. I think Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult is the same way. That was actually our bass player's idea. So I try to have fun with the song titles to make it go with the art, like subtleties for the artwork. The artwork is really nothing, but little things like that thought made it more interesting.
Cool. Thanks. Are you going to have any touring plans with this new album to go outside of the East Coast and...
That's a good question. I don't know. At the moment, no. But we have to see what happens. But with the internet, it's incredible how many more people you can reach these days. You know, back in the day, the internet didn't have that same power. Especially MySpace. The great.
Right.
It's really been amazing.
Right, and it's pretty popular now to do digital releases versus an actual hard CD and things like that, too. So
that's so interesting, and I've never done that, but we'll look into it.
Yeah.
The future thing seems to make sense.
Yeah, for sure, because it's more accessible to people and things like that. This last album, I mean, you guys did pretty well. I know you won an award for Best Song at the Boston Music Awards, right?
That was pretty cool, yeah. So. Then we were nominated for other stuff. The Boston Phoenix, which is the hippest bar in town, nominated us in three different categories for their music poll that they do every year. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and as far as locally, I mean, you have people singing along at your shows and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So how's that experience been? I know that's one of the things that bands seem to always be shocked when that happens and that someone's listened to the
so
music.
It's like a universal kind of shocker. Like, someone's singing along to my words and our songs. It's crazy, but crazy exciting. It's one thing if you kind of know the person or you know they have the record. It's another thing when you don't know the person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it's way more exciting.
That seems the best.
Yeah, then you start thinking, how do they get it? How do they hear about us? How do they know? How long have they been listening? Well, that's how I work. We have guests come and play with us live, like guests from other popular bands in town. I don't know if you've heard of this band called Bane Camaro, but if you haven't, you and everybody should, because they're kind of going to be the next big thing. They're a band with 20 dude singers.
Wow.
They all sing at the same time. Kind of like 80s metal.
Huh.
With the big, gigantic choruses like Def Leppard. They have no verses, all choruses. If you're on our MySpace page, they're one of our top friends.
Oh, nice.
You can check them out.
So that's a good tip, everybody.
Yes.
Just in looking at your favorite songs on the album debut. I know before you've said Mary is your favorite track. Is that still true, or as you've been playing them more live and things like that, has that changed?
Mary is not my favorite live, but it's one of my favorite on the record. So the record and in live are very different. My favorite to perform live is probably Hypnotize Me, and that's partly because don't have to play guitar, and I get to sort of take the mic and just kind of perform, you know, more with my body. And we usually have guests sing, and like I mentioned, Bane Camaro, some of the guys from that band come up and do the screaming parts.
Oh, cool.
I mean, there's some couple girls that sometimes come up too, so it's usually the last song of our set, and it's got this, you know, real ending to a set kind of feel. We kind of go out with a bang. So that's my favorite live.
Cool.
Not necessarily my favorite to listen to on the record. I think Mary, Stuck in the Middle, I'm on Fire, and You're My Home, actually.
That's a tough question, because I'm not the phase where I'm looking forward to the next record. But let me see. If I had to choose one, I like Stuck in the Middle. I think it's just a good overall pop song. And I like You're My Home. I really just like that song's a little more interesting to me every time I listen to it, instrumental-wise and melodic-wise. And guitar-wise, I like the guitar stuff I played on there. So that's, those would be my choices.
So before you go on to perform, how do you warm up your voice? Because it seems like with the music you're singing, it would be pretty demanding on your vocal cords.
You'd think it would be demanding. I don't warm up at all. What I like to do is just sing a lot the day before, like have a rehearsal the day before the show, and really kind of use my voice a lot. And then the day of the show, I don't really warm it up. I don't do anything. And I know maybe I should. I know a lot of people do. But I've had no problems whatsoever. And usually once I'm done singing, I have no problems.
My voice is cool.
Normal. So it has to do with over time you learn how to sing correctly, breathe correctly, and to do things that won't be taxing or damaging.
Do you guys have any pre-show rituals that you conduct? Or do you just kind of have a good time at the bar or the venue and go out?
Pre-show is usually anxiety. Pre-show is not usually fun at all. Post-show is a big relief. That's usually when I can just socialize and talk to people and meet new people, and I love the after performance time. I can't focus very well before, all over the place until I get up there and get everything situated and kind of perform.
As far as your influences, you've been compared, you know, to different bands. Either you guys have compared yourselves or other people have, like Joan Jett, for example, and things like that. Who actually does influence you, or who has had an impact on you and you like to listen to, basically?
I was definitely in a large classic rock phase before we made this particular record, this debut. I still listen to classic rock. Everyone in the band is a fan of rock, ranging from, you know, Zeppelin to Stones, and, you know, not necessarily classic rock, but, like, you know, Clash.
Right.
I happen to really like Bad Company, which to some people is cheesy. I mean, I love Free. Came before Bad Company, but I was listening to a lot of Paul Rodgers this year, who's the singer of Bad Company. Honestly, I don't feel that I'm, you know, influenced only by female singers. I think I'm also quite influenced by male singers. And that's something that it's challenging, because people and writers and critics and bloggers and that, just human nature is to want to compare a female to another female.
Right.
It's hard not to with a female voice, but I'm really looking forward to the day that people say I might sound influenced by, you know, a man, a male singer, or someone that is an actual influence. You know, Robert Plant from back in the day, a lot of that live footage I really love. Was insanely dead on. No, but lately I've honestly been listening to, like I said, Gwen Stefani and a little bit of Donna Summer, and I used to listen to tons of PJ Harvey.
Okay.
I'm sure she influenced me. I haven't listened to her in quite a few years, but I did used to listen to her.
Since Snow Leopards, a lot of the music is really guitar based and focused on guitar, who are your favorite guitarists and people that you kind of like to emulate?
I grew up in LA. So there was a lot of guitar heroes there, you know. So, but I like Jimmy Page, Keith Richards. I even like newer people like Jack White, which he mostly just plays like Jimmy Page.
Right.
But I also like a lot of other stuff, not necessarily guitar stuff that influenced. Like, I was a huge My Bloody Valentine fan for a long time. James Spencer Jr., like The Cure, New Order, stuff like that, I like a lot too.
Well, it's kind of cool that you're able to draw upon modern influences and modern music as well as the things in the past. Because I think a lot of people are afraid to even say that they really like a certain artist right now, for example.
I think people are afraid to say, and I understand why. I used to be more like that when I was younger, but I just got to the point where I just don't have any interest in trying to pretend. Like, I am who I am, I like what I like. It's kind of liberating to just say, I like this. Because, you know, it's funny, you find out someone who you would not think liked any of the pop artists would be like, oh, I like that too.
Yeah.
Exciting, and you kind of feel bonded.
Mike mentioned that he's looking forward to the new album. What's the plan as far as recording, and how's that looking right now?
Let's see. This coming weekend, we're actually going into a studio in town called Q Division. It's a very good studio. We wanted a free day, so we're going in more than the one free day, but going in to record two or three at the most new songs.
Cool.
Those should be out by the end of summer, I would think. You know, we're trying to go in a new direction, but it won't be a, you know, drastic departure. But I have been listening to one of Gwen Stefani's records a lot,
okay,
trying to learn from that, mixing that with, you know, still the rock thing, of course, but we want to take it up into a little more dancey, kind of fun kind of feel. I definitely want to incorporate more fun stuff and change it up vocally, maybe a little more, I don't know, when you think of, like, the Gwen Stefani kind of stuff, her harmonies are very, you can be almost like 50s girl group type harmonies,
right,
or things that are kind of fun, I guess. That's my plan.
So it's kind of going to play with your voice a little bit more, because I did hear a little bit of your solo work, and it seems that your voice is somewhat different for Snow Leopards, and you've kind of got a more gritty, like, rocker voice, and that really powerful voice that when on your solo stuff you could hear, I mean, there was still the power there, but it seemed a little more gentle. So are you kind of, do you enjoy kind of going back and forth with that?
I really like singing the rock stuff. I like singing out. And I'm definitely a better singer now than I was. I mean, you'd hope you'd get better at anything as time goes on.
Right.
So I've gotten better. You know, Mike has helped tremendously with the writing. So if I were just to write something on guitar and be like, look at this song, you know, it'd be a good song, but he could come in and he could tweak the way I play a chord, or he could just, you know, he's a much better guitar player than I am. So he's able to flesh things out.
Okay.
Which then, to answer your question, that enables me to sing better, actually. So I'm not relying on, you know, my playing.
With recording and trying to use the sampler and kind of incorporate different sounds into your music, is this something you've thought about doing even before, like when you looked at, you used the drum machine for your performances and stuff like that? So
yeah.
It's something you've definitely done before, so is that pretty kind of cool for you to go back and do that again, but with a band too?
It's really cool, and I think to go back to your question, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but something to do with solo work and being in the band and what has been different about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was doing solo, I had the fantasy or the desire to write songs that were a little more coherent and poppier. You know, rock,
mm-hmm,
but pop. And I wasn't able to quite accomplish it. I could write songs that were catchy and people would say, ooh, that's really catchy, but it just wasn't there, what I, you know, envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
I think with this band and with incorporating the samples and all that, I feel like I'm on the road to accomplish what I've always had the fantasy of doing.
How did you start out in general? How did you start out in music? And are you surprised right now that you're in a band and that this is what you're doing?
I'm not surprised. I was really obsessed with music as a kid and as a teenager. You know, my father bought me a stereo for some birthday, and I used to love to, you know, just buy records and CDs and listen to tons of music. I started playing guitar when I first went to college at BU. And I didn't actually start singing for years later. I was intimidated by the microphone, kind of, you know, shy. When I hear my voice, it'd be almost embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing guitar first. I played in a couple bands as a guitar player. And then I think one of the bands I was in, they needed me to do backups, and then I started doing them, and then I sort of realized, wow, I can kind of sing. And then I decided, let me try writing songs. And I started writing songs. And I was like, wow, I can actually write a song, and people like them, and they think they're catchy, and So then I just got into it, started spending a lot of time just sitting and writing and making stuff up and taping myself on just a, you know, little cassette boombox.
Right.
Kind of how it started. It was like, when I was at BU, I had a roommate, and she could sing, so we just, you know, said, let's start a band. So I really could barely play, but we just decided to go for it. And also, I picked up the guitar really quickly. I was able to sort of make stuff up, you know, in a pretty short amount of time. Although I do regret never learning how to play leads well. Mike is an incredible lead player, and he constantly makes me feel, but I'm a better rhythm player than he is, so.
I like to ask a couple questions about your musical first, basically. So we kind of talked about it a little bit, but what was the first time that you performed music publicly, even if it was a recital or something?
First time I performed music publicly was at a little club called O'Brien's in Austin, Massachusetts, and that was with my roommate, BU. He and I went over and did an open mic together. I played acoustic guitar and she sang, and it was scary as hell. And that was the first time, and it's so funny you asked me that because I haven't really thought about that in ages.
What was the first concert that you attended?
Oh, first concert I attended, I was a kid, and it was, I don't know what the first one was, it was Police or U2.
Oh, cool. Okay, so do you guys have any, like, pirate impressions or a pirate joke you could give us?
Sure do. Let's see, it's going to be Mike and I together.
Arr! Ahoy, baby! Yeah!